Wake up, Chicago. This is the Santita Jackson Show.
Hey, what's up, Chicago? You're awake? Yes, you are. It is the Santita Jackson Show, WCPT 820 AM, Progressive Talk Radio. I am not Santita. Sorry to disappoint you. I really am. Santita is amazing. My name is Brandon Johnson, filling in for her today. She'll be back. Don't worry. Had a chance to fill in for her last week. Really honored to be here. Again, we're talking about a lot of different things, you all. I want you to call in 773-763-9278. We got a bunch of stuff we have to still cover in the next hour. Boy, time is just moving fast. When I was a classroom teacher, Lady B, my kids would, you know, come in the building at 8 o'clock, and it's like I would get to work sometimes at 6:30, and 7:30 that sun starts to come up, and you just know those kids about to walk across that threshold, and the anxiety is building up. So thank you all the teachers and nurses that are out there that are preparing to receive our students in a moment. My children are on the way to school, and Lord knows we look forward to dropping them off. We really do, especially my five-year-old. She's in kindergarten now, and she is just having the time of her life. She can hardly fall asleep, Lady B. Like, she's so excited, causing her mom all kind of problems. They say it gets better, and then it gets worse, and then it gets better. That's like the relationship. But the fact that my daughter has already decided she doesn't like me at 5 years old, I only have to go uphill from here. But hopefully you all like me in the meantime. 773-763-9278. We're going to get to the presidential conversation in just a few moments. I know Roosevelt has been holding. Thank you, Roosevelt. Vicky has been holding. Did you all know, and I got this interesting poll that came out yesterday, CNN poll, around the president's ratings. I'm not going to say approval ratings because I just don't want to believe that people approve of him. But apparently they do. There are a lot of folks that still like him. I don't know who they are. I want to meet them. But we'll get into that. And Richard Fowler, his plane is landing. It's a little bit behind, so we're going to try to have him. He's a Fox News contributor. He travels all over. And we miss you, brother Richard. But we just got off the phone with the National Nurses Union, a rank-and-file member, Elaine Mister, who laid it out just so well, and about the fight for really economic and social justice for our patients and for our nurses. And I do want to take a quick call, though, Kyle, before I get into our next segment, because Kyle has been holding on. And I know, Kyle, you wanted to thank Elaine before she had to go. And, Kyle, good morning, man. Thank you for joining the Santita Jackson Show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Elaine, and to all the nurses out there, to the teachers. I've had 11 surgeries in my life, and I've dealt with a lot of nurses, and they are the most wonderful people, in my opinion. I can't thank them enough. And in my opinion, I think you guys should deserve, you know, fight for what you need and what you want. You know, you deserve everything in the world, honestly. And the fact that you're over, you know, not understaffed, and you have all these sick people that you're dealing with. And I've been in the service industry, or I was, for 5 years. I've dealt with people, you know, in restaurants, and yeah, it's not an easy job. And I've always had nothing but great stories to tell about nurses. It's truly a wonderful thing to have them there. You know, the doctors do one thing and they make oodles of money, but the nurses are really the ones that are there to take care of you. And I just wanted to say thank you for that. And everybody vote blue.
Well, thank you, Kyle. And I really do appreciate that, man. And thanks for hanging out with us on this this early Wednesday morning. And
I work 12 and a half hour shifts, man.
Okay.
I work from 6 to 6:30. So
okay.
I know nurses do the same. And,
yeah.
You know, so I got a little feeling for that. I listen to Santita Jackson Show every morning, and, you know, it's awesome.
Well,
and I love what, you know, Progressive Chicago and WCPT and everything. And, you know, it's great. We
yeah.
need to keep it going. And, like I said, everybody vote blue.
Let's do it.
Get this man out of the White House, if you can even call him, man.
Yeah. Keep listening. We're going to talk about that, in just about 20 minutes or so, because the conversation around, you know, Donald Trump is one that's heating up. I do know one person that supports Donald Trump, and I don't know. I mean, pray for him, man. I mean, I'll pray for you anyways, whether you like Donald Trump or not, but, you know, it's going to be an interesting time, I think, in the upcoming moment. But I do want to just shift real quick. And I know Maria wanted to weigh in and thank nurses and teachers. We'll get to you in a second. And Vicky and Roosevelt, I promise. But more than 7,000 Chicago Public Schools employees could walk off the job this fall. And we're not talking the 25,000 members of the Chicago Teachers Union. We're talking about a group of workers that consist of special education classroom assistants, or we call them SECAs, custodians, bus aides, security officers. They voted to authorize a strike as well. The Service Employees International Union, Local 73, that represents these members. And, you know, here we are again, Chicago, as the labor community organizations movement continues to grow, the resistance to the working class is just as fierce. And joining us on the live line in this next segment to talk about their fight as workers in Chicago for a fair contract and better working conditions are Susana Ibanez and Larry Alkoff. Susana is a SECA who I believe is in a building now, or she's probably on her way to work. And we have Larry Alkoff, who's one of the chief negotiators. Welcome both of you to the Santita Jackson Show.
Good morning. Thank you.
So let's start with Susana. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. I would imagine you're on your way to work now, right?
I'm actually in the process of getting 3 out of my 4 children, trying to get ready to get out of the house to go to work.
Oh, wow. Bless you. Bless your heart, all of you. And that is the reality, though, Susana. And how long have you been a SECA? And if you don't mind me asking, which school? You are in the Chicago Public School, right?
Yes, I am at Berry School, and I've been working for the board for 12 years.
Mm. And what has that experience been like for you? I mean, what is your role as a SECA, for those of you people who may not be familiar with the role of a special education classroom assistant?
So I work with what we call diverse learners. They're special education children. And I'm in a general ed classroom. And what usually tends to happen is I kind of work a one-on-one with the child, but then at the same time, I'm assisting the other students because it's hard for a teacher with 28 children and then one teacher in there. So I mean, it's like we're dual teachers in one classroom.
Yeah. And how has that role changed over the course of the 12 years? How has that position changed over the course of 12 years? Is that caseload, more severe? Are there students coming with more challenges? What have you seen over the course of your 12-year career as a frontline worker in our public schools?
I can tell you that I've seen an increase in an amount of students that we have being like placed with IEPs.
And an IEP, just for those of us who may not be familiar with that language, that's an individualized education plan, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And so at my school alone, we've had an increase where we have to request for more SECAs, and we have a shortage of SECAs. We need more special education classroom teachers, and we're short of those as well. And so, like, it's a higher demand, and there's not many people filling that demand.
773-763-9278. It's the Santita Jackson Show. My name is Brandon Johnson, filling in for Santita Jackson, and we're talking to Susana Ibanez, and we're also talking to Larry Alkoff. These are members of the SEIU, or Service Employees International Union, Local 73, and they represent special education classroom assistants, bus aides, security officers, and they also have voted to authorize a strike demanding a fair contract. And before I bring Larry in, Susana, you were talking about just the increase that you've seen of students who need special education services, and we know that there's been a tremendous cutback, and I know you're preparing your own family to get to work, to get them off to school. You live in the neighborhood, you work in a neighborhood school, your children are school age. What is this about for you?
And they also go to Chicago Public Schools too.
And they're also students in CPS.
Yes. And this is something that I am glad that we finally put our foot down and we're like, you know, this is enough. Like, how much is CPS going to hurt all our, it's everybody's always concerned about other issues, and it's like, we're the back burner, and, you know, special education children are not receiving sometimes the services that they need, or, you know, SECAs are being pulled away for certain things that don't go with the intended minutes that the children are supposed to be receiving, or not even receiving minutes at all because they're being pulled for other things, as like, even janitorial work, security work, Like, it's just a number of things, and it's becoming frustrating.
And I know families are feeling that frustration, and because you work so closely with these students, I mean, what's been your experience as a frontline worker in Chicago, as a mother, as a worker, and as someone that serviced these families? Just the stories that I know that you encounter with the families that you work with every single day, the work certainly extends well beyond the time that you're in front of that student. Like, these are families that are going into communities all over the city of Chicago that are in desperate need of services. And here Chicago is actually cutting special education services. Like, how do you engage with the families that you know deserve and want more and just need a little bit of hope to know that someone is out there fighting for those services for their families?
You know, it's like one of those things where we are counselors as well. We're like trying to provide assistance. It's not just the students that we work with. Like, we are personal with the parents most of the time. And it's so sad sometimes to hear the stories that we hear from them or the troubles that they're going through. And then it's like, you know, it's hard to know that sometimes these minutes are not being serviced or, you know, the parents are not getting the right information. It's just, it's like you get a clash of everything from everywhere.
And so the least we can have is a fair contract that allows us to address those matters. And so for those of you who are just tuning into the Santita Jackson Show, we're talking to Susana Ibanez. She is a rank and file member of the Service Employees International Union, Local 73, which represents about 7,000 Chicago Public Schools employees. And they could also walk out on their jobs and striking for a fair contract. And one of the things that I am always troubled by, that I've been troubled by, is the fact that the former CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, Forrest Claypool, was actually in violation of the state law by not delivering the special education services that are required. And so the public schools had to fall under the jurisdiction of the state because they were in violation. And there are a lot of things that we're fighting for. And I do want to get to Larry. Larry, thanks for being patient with this. But there are some sticking points in this contract. What's the baseline that these workers are fighting for, Larry?
Well, I think what Susana said is very instructive. So I think for many people, and certainly for the Chicago Public Schools and the mayor, that the work of CECAS is invisible work. It's invisible and marginalized work, and not part of the central conversation about what happens in our schools and what happens to students. Susana and other CECAS, for example, spend more time with special education students or diverse learners than anybody else, one-on-one or in cluster programs. They're responsible for personal care, working with behavioral issues. They're responsible for making sure those students keep up with their classroom work and also are able to sort of learn activities of daily living. So they have a critical job to make sure these students can learn in the least restrictive environment, but yet the Chicago Public Schools and the Board of Education marginalizes them as invisible workers. They treat their work as intuitive, not work that takes knowledge and skill and training. They treat their work as low wage work. Susana, I think, has been in the school district for 12 years. She's making like $33,000. That's pretty hard to live in the city of Chicago on a $33,000 a year paycheck. And it's a devalued work. It's low wage and devalued work, and that has to change. So this is a challenge to the Chicago Public Schools. It's not just, though, the CECAs. So we think it is important, and it's not just the teachers. It is important that there are clean schools. And we represent the custodians who are responsible for cleaning the schools. But we know the schools are not clean. And we know there was a report in the Chicago Sun-Times not that long ago, an article that talked about how much they would be fined by the Department of Health because schools were dirty. They had rats. They have mice. They have mold across the schools. And most of those are in black, brown, and poor communities. But yet what the Chicago Public Schools does, rather than investing in and valuing the work of custodians, they sign tens of millions of dollars in contracts with outside contractors like Sodexo and Aramark, so that they're putting the shareholders of those companies, the profits of those companies, before the children and workers in the Chicago Public Schools. Likewise, we're interested in this, having safe schools, and we think safe schools does not mean policing schools. We think safe schools means building towards a program of relationships, restorative justice, solving problems before they become problems in the school, which means having security officers in the schools that are trained in restorative justice, trained in de-escalation tactics, and having the ability to build relationships with students and staff. But what does the mayor do? What does the school board do? They sign a $33 million contract to bring armed, uniformed Chicago police officers into the schools to walk the halls of the schools. It is not simply a shortening of the school-to-prison pipeline. It's creating schools as armed camps in some ways by having the police march the hallways. So I think that they make bad choices. They treat these workers as invisible. They don't serve the needs of creating safe schools, clean schools, or the needs of special needs students. We have bus aides. We have bus aides who are what I call rent to own, because they're only paid 4 to 6 hours a day, but they get up at 5 a.m. They have to be at work at 5:30. They don't get back home till 6, but they work split shifts. We had a bus aide who's a 27-year employee in the Chicago Public Schools who was living in her car for 3 months because the wages are so low. And because of the nature of the scheduling of the shifts, she's working a can't-to-can't shift from early in the morning to the evening and has no ability to find other income during the course of the day and is forced to live in poverty wages. So we think there are a lot of issues here that need to be brought to light. Teachers are absolutely critical to the schools. The demands that CTU is raising are absolutely critical to giving students the schools they deserve. But it's also important to understand that the work that TICAs do, security officers do, bus aides do, and custodians do is critical to the learning experience and learning environment of students across the Chicago Public Schools. And I want to add one more thing, if I could.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm on a roll. I'm also leading the negotiations for almost 3,000 Chicago Park District workers at the same time. And they are also voting to strike because this is a group of workers you have 2/3 of the workers who are kept at part-time hours in order to avoid health insurance eligibility. They work 52 weeks a year. They're giving zero paid vacation a year. They are not paid for holidays. Holidays are called Mondays for them. So even though they have to leave their family on paid holidays and deal with that, they get paid nothing more. They're paid 60 cents on the dollar of what full-time workers get. There is no pay for increased longevity. So if I've been there 40 years or 4 minutes, I make the same paycheck doing jobs, whether I'm full-time, if I'm a full-time worker. Part-time workers don't make close to what full-time workers make on an hourly basis. They're just used as cheap labor. So those workers are also raising the question of, if we want to have good services, good parks, good schools, you have to invest in the people who do the work and take care of our community. And that's how you build a better, stronger community base, by investing in things like our public parks and the services they provide and our public schools and the work that our members do, as well as what the teachers union is doing. So we think these are important issues in front of the entire. And you could have a situation where the mayor of Chicago could be facing what essentially is almost the equivalent of a general strike in the Chicago parks and schools, striking at the same time. And she has a choice to provide leadership in a different direction here that moves away from the Rahm Emanuel years and really focuses the question, how do I give hope to working class people and working people in this city, both in the services we provide and how we treat the workers who deliver those services? She is confronted with that challenge right now, to return to a period when maybe the mayor's office can provide hope for people, which probably goes all the way back to Harold Washington, or she has a choice of following and continuing the sort of austerity and neoliberal model that we've seen under the Rahm Emanuel years and other mayors since Harold Washington.
That's the voice of Larry Alcoff. He's the chief negotiator with the Service Employees International Union, Local 73, that represents not just members in the Chicago Public Schools, 7,000 members. There's also 3,000 members in the Park District, 10,000 people working class folks in the city of Chicago have taken a strike authorization vote, and they are prepared, along with the Chicago Teachers Union, prepared to fight for economic justice. Suzanne, I know you're preparing your children for school. I'm just going to let you go after this. But something that Larry mentioned, I think, is important, is just the invisible work. I think that's actually a very powerful statement, where sometimes as teachers' assistants, you know, people believe that we're just watching people's kids, right? You just, you know, that doesn't require like a skill set, right? But there's also this other point. I want you to address that. And then the second point before you go is the fact that many of our women who are serving as SECAs, their children are qualifying for free and reduced lunch, barely able to live in the city of Chicago, where the middle class continues to shrink. Santita Jackson talked about this some time ago, a couple of days ago. Basically, the 16% of Chicago is classified as middle class. And so the for people who may not understand what that means to make just over $30,000 a year, what does that mean in real time? And then this idea of your work being invisible, where you're just watching kids, it help our listeners understand that the work is far more complex than just watching kids. And what is it like to live in Chicago, where you're barely making over $30,000 a year?
So in my case, I mean, as in many other SECAs, everybody thinks we're glorified babysitters, but we're not. I mean, our role is to support the children in the classroom, our diverse learners. But the thing is, at some point, we're teaching them as well. I mean, we're the ones that are left with the children, and we're like given just, and it's sometimes it's just, oh, well, this is what you're supposed to do. But then we're instructing them, we're teaching them. I mean, just basics, like sometimes it's tying their shoes. I mean, just basic things, or teaching the classroom lesson. It's a rigorous job. Sometimes we have toileting where we have to potty train, or we have to change diapers. It's intense at times. We have behavioral issues. I almost was at a point where I was going to quit because we don't get the training that we need. We have behavior students, and we don't get that training to help us, you know, cope with those, you know, help the child. And it was intense, where it was like I was getting hit and kicked every day. And it was like we went to CPS and we told them, you know, there's an issue. And they're like, well, all you have to do is document it. Just document it. And it's like, how much as a parent or as a worker do we have to take this aggression? And nobody's out to say, okay, let's get this training done. Let's do this. And it's just so frustrating. And then having the requirement to live here in the city, right, as prices are increasing, our contract from a while ago, that was a 4-year contract, out of those 4 years, we only received a raise twice. I mean, our raise was taken away 2 times. It's ridiculous that, you know, to work in Chicago, you have to live in Chicago, but we can't afford it.
Yep.
It's unimaginable. I mean, everything is so expensive here.
No, that's right, and that's what this fight is about. And I told you I would only keep you for 30 minutes, and I want to try to hold to that. But just before you jump off, Larry, just some closing thoughts here, real quick, in the 40 seconds. You said the mayor of Chicago has a choice: austerity, neoliberal, or budget cuts, or to actually be transformative.
So I think there's two pieces to that. In the fact that she's decided it's more important to take $33 million and siphon it off of the schools to the Chicago Police Department, I think, to subsidize bloated overtime, to subsidize lawsuit settlements for abusive behavior, rather than investing that $33 million back in the schools, back in the education of children, and back into the solving the problems that SECAs, custodians, and others face. Or in the Park District, where she's continuing Rahm's policy of moving $4 million a year out of the park budget to the police department, so that the police are continuing, they have to service those parks anyway. So I think she has to make some budget choices. I also think she has to decide, we're going to pay for parks, we're going to pay for schools. We have to pay the workers and treat the workers with respect in both cases, and support teachers and other support staff. The question is, who pays for it? Right now, It is the workers paying for it, and at the end of the day, it's communities and students. The question is, if we're going to have those services and support those services, we ought to be looking at the people who've made the most money and profited over the last decade and not paid their fair share of taxes. And there's a lots of ways to build progressivity into the tax system and have people who are at the upper ends, both through progressive taxation on income, real estate transaction taxes on high value properties,
the corporate head tax,
financial transactions, and also TIF money. The fact of the matter is that you have millions of dollars of TIF money going into downtown development. That was not the initial intent of TIF in the city of Chicago, was to develop working class and poor communities. Instead, it's siphoning off money to developers. And I think that she has a choice about how, where the money should come from, who should have to pay. And if we value these services and these institutions, and if we value the importance of our youth, and we value the people who do the work, then she has to decide who should pay for that and who shouldn't.
That's Larry Alcoff. Okay. You all. He's the chief negotiator of the Service Employees International Union Local 73, and Susana Ibanez, who is a rank and file member, who is a SICA. Thank both of you for joining the Santita Jackson Show and hanging out with us this morning. Susana, have a great day at work, and I hope you able to get your kids out on time, and you have our complete support. We'll be fighting and building solidarity together, so thank the both of you. I have to take a quick break, and then I'm going to get to the calls, you all. I know you got Pete been holding on. You got Mark. Hey, what's going on, Mark? And Maria wants to send a shout-out and connect with us. Roosevelt has been like the most faithful listener this morning, because we're still talking Trump, and Vicky, we're talking Trump still, but we have these local issues that I believe have national ramifications, and the impact that the fight that we're having in Chicago has had on the discourse around America is impressive, you all. As Donald Trump moves an austerity budget, as Rahm Emanuel moved austerity budgets here in Chicago, Bruce Rauner came to destroy public employees. We sent him packing. We also have to continue to demand justice. Our nurses are prepared for a strike. Our security guards and park district workers are prepared for a strike. Our teachers are preparing for a strike. You have more support for labor unions than you've seen in a generation. You have a grassroots community organizations and labor building a movement together with elected officials that are calling for progressive revenue to make sure that those who do the work are properly supported. And then those that we service are actually supported as well. I want to get to you all, 773-763-9278. Richard Fowler's plane is delayed, but it's landing. He's going to jump on. He's a Fox News contributor. And we're talking the presidential election as well and how all these local politics play a part in the national discourse. Can the Democrats actually nominate a real progressive? And can a progressive win? Trump's polling numbers, you all. Believe it or not, there are people who actually like him. I hope you all like me and you'll hang in there with me just a little bit longer. We're almost there, you all. It's WCPT 820 AM. My name is Brandon Johnson, filling in for Santita. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.